chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Scott Highmark on the show today. Scott is the president of Mosaic Family Wealth. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Scott, I have been so excited about this, spending this time with you today, and I know how busy you are, but thank you so much for making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast.
It is a pleasure to be with you, Lisa. I've listened to, I think, every episode of your podcast, and every time one gets released, I get a send a notification and I immediately jump on it. So I've been very inspired by your podcast. So thanks for having me and for doing this.
Well, thank you so much. So, you know, we have so much to talk about, Scott. So I'm just going to dive right in. You know, and a lot of people, especially if you follow basketball in St. Louis, you probably know about Scott. Scott is a big deal in the basketball world. Grew up here in St. Louis, played for the Billikens. Tell us a little bit, Scott, about how you grew up, how you got into basketball, what inspired you, and then we'll talk about a lot of other things.
I grew up kind of an athletic family. My dad and his brothers were all athletic, and it was just kind of what we did. And honestly, athletics became a way. I moved 12 times in my first 13 years of life. My dad was with Ralston Purina, and about every year he would get a different promotion and we would move to a different city. And so I had to kind of learn the trade of being the new kid in the room or on the playground or on the court. And I found that this idea of using athletics and sports made immediate connections with kids. And I was blessed with some size and athleticism. And so immediately I was like, oh, this actually works. I can make new friendships and connections very quickly through athletics. So I think that's what ultimately drew me to it. I kind of played a little bit of everything growing up. And then baseball and basketball became my two sports that I kind of gravitated towards. And my dad was a baseball player in college, and it broke his heart. But by sophomore year in high school, I told him, Dad, I think I love basketball more. I quit baseball, and my high school coach was not too happy with that. But it was just my love. You know, I was just one of those kids, a total gym rat. You couldn't get me out of the gym. I was trying to break into gyms all over town or play on outdoor courts. You just couldn't get me away from it. It wasn't work for me. It was just my passion. And just putting that little round ball in a hoop was addicting to me. Kind of was my happy place as a child.
You know, that is a way to connect. And kids, if you read about kids, I mean, James Dobson used to write a lot about this, that kids needed things to hang their hat on. So you found that sports was a way for you to immediately connect, no matter where you were, right? And then the competitiveness that kind of comes in, you know, to play in business and that sort of thing. But, you know, you were inducted into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations for that. But I do want to ask you this question. I told you that we just celebrated my dad's 92nd birthday this weekend in Kentucky. You have never seen a bigger Kentucky Wildcat fan than my dad. Loves Wildcats. And you said that you remember playing at Rupp Arena.
I'd love to hear that. I want to meet your dad someday. And yes, I had the opportunity. So after St. Louis U, I had the opportunity to, I call it being a basketball vagabond. I played all over the world. I played in Australia. I played in New Zealand. I played in Europe. Played in the minor leagues, the Continental Basketball Association. But one of the other things I did was I played for a touring exhibition team called Athletes in Action that you might be familiar with. Athletes in Action is a ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. And back when I came out of college, we would actually go play all of the top schools in the country for their exhibition games. So we played Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Indiana, UCLA, you name it, we played them. We were going to Rupp Arena in November 1995, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were walking in the gym for a shoot around, and they were scalping tickets at Rupp Arena for the Kentucky Athletes in Action game. And I thought, wow, this is serious. This isn't even a real game. And there were 23,000 fans there, and they were scalping tickets for our game. And one of the cool things I got to do is share my testimony at halftime of the game in front of 23,000 people at Rupp Arena. And that was the year Rick Pitino was there and they won the national championship. And so I just remember that surreal moment of they hand me the microphone and I get to share my personal testimony in front of 23,000 people at Rupp Arena. So yeah, I have very fond memories there. We were actually leading at half by 3 and they came back and beat us by 25 in the second half. So Big Blue Nation did what they do. But it was one of the highlights of my career because I never got to play there at SLU, but got an opportunity to play in Rupp, which was a special moment.
Well, Dad is definitely going to have to listen to this episode so he can hear that story. But after your basketball career, I know that you got into what you're doing today. You got into wealth management, and a good mutual friend of ours, you know, he was kind of the person, right, that really spoke into you. Can you tell that story? Because I think he really pursued you for a while and you really didn't pay him any attention, right?
Yeah, no, our good friend Tad Edwards and I and his father, Ben, we grew up together with our families going to church together, both first at Covenant Pres on Ballas and then at Twin Oaks. And so knew the family forever. And Tad, in his very persistent way, during kind of the passing of the peace, asked me after I graduated from SLU, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm trying to play basketball overseas and trying to make a run at it. And at the time I was doing kind of an internship for a financial planning firm. And he said, you know, whenever you get done with your little basketball thing, you should call me. And so I said, thank you. Took his card, put it in my pocket, never called him. A month later, he comes up to me and goes, hey, are you ever going to call me? And I said, yeah, no, sure. Yeah, I'm going to call you. The third time, and Tad is persistent, if nothing else, you know that about him. He says, are you going to call me or not? And so I said, you know what? I probably should call this guy, and who's the president of AG Edwards at the time, and his dad was chairman of the board. And so I did. And it was just, I mean, talk about God's providence and his timing, and just, you know, they did all the assessments and they said, I think really you could marry your kind of analytical skills and background with coaching and counseling, which is really what we do as wealth management advisors, is really using, you have to have the hard skills, but the soft skills. And they said, we really think you'd be a great advisor. And so off I went. They put me on the little training program at AG Edwards in 1996. Yeah, here we are. That's how I got my start. So I'm very grateful. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's stuff packed in there too, Scott. I mean, we need to constantly be looking out for those things that we see in other people.
Yeah.
That word and his persistence, really, but that word spoken into you, you probably hadn't even thought of that as a career, really.
Not really. It was just a seed and I didn't have anything to offer him. I mean, that's what the interesting thing now that as I a little bit older and more on the other side, I realize I didn't really have a lot to offer him, but he still pursued me. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm trying to be learn in my own life. Do I have enough margin? Are my eyes open to look for those opportunities where I'm supposed to speak into somebody's life and make a difference and maybe plant a seed that they hadn't thought about?
Well, so you were there, I think, for 10 years, and then you went to Morgan Stanley and you were there for 10 or 12 years. But really what I want to talk about is what has happened since 2015. Because you decided in 2015 that you were going to jump on the entrepreneurial wagon and build something. So tell me about that story. What was the precipice for that? You know, what influenced you to do that?
Yeah, so I was at AG Edwards for 10 years, incredible time there. Then our common friend, Missy Brown, and I kind of grew up in our career at AG Edwards together. And she and I and a couple others went and formed a group called the Mosaic Group at the time inside of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney. We did that for 10 years. But as you said, in 2015, we just had that entrepreneurial itch to say, we really need to do something different. And that's when Mosaic Family Wealth was born. But really the inspiration behind that started several years prior to that, as it often does. There's like a seed of, sometimes it's restlessness, sometimes it's vision. Sometimes it's a combination of all of that. Honestly, one of the things that struck me was a book by Bob Buford called Halftime that you've probably read.
Love that book.
I read that book probably 15 years ago, and I reread it in maybe 2012, 13. For those who don't know, Bob Buford was a very successful TV cable entrepreneur down in Texas and had this kind of epiphany in his late 40s that he had achieved success as the world would define it, but really wanted to pursue significance in the last season of his life. And obviously has a faith journey that's alongside there. But I remember reading that and it gave me words to what I was feeling. And it gave me language to say, that's what I want to do the rest of my career. Because we work with a lot of successful people. Most of our clients are successful, or we probably wouldn't be working together because there's a lot of complexity in their life. They've accumulated wealth, and with wealth comes complexity and stewardship and responsibility. But I thought, if we could actually create a transformative client experience that's a lot more to do with significance than just success and helping our people move beyond that, because once they've achieved a certain level of success, they have enough, but the more interesting conversation happens once they're there. And then it's really, okay, now what is it really all about? And the question that we can ask and the dialogue that we can have just becomes so much deeper and richer. So that book, honestly, really planted a seed in myself and Missy and our partner Larry Shikles and some others to say, if we're going to do something, we're going to do something transformational, something different than what we could do here at the firm that we were at. So long story short, eight of us kind of rallied around that vision for honestly a couple of years. And then in 2015, we took the leap, and you know how scary it is. And we kind of put everything on the table and said, we feel called to do this. It really, you know, you hear about that in the ministry, but I felt like it was a professional calling that we had to do it. Yes, it was risky. Yes, it was scary. But when it becomes a calling, you don't have a choice.
Well, and I completely agree with you, Scott. I mean, calling is not just for the ministry. I mean, calling can be your work, you know, and what you really feel like you were designed to do. But I always say, don't despise the preparation.
Yeah.
You know, Greg and I worked for 10 years in corporate America before we launched Technology Partners, and we needed that time. We needed that. We still need preparation. We're still being prepared, Scott. You know, I know Mosaic has been incredibly successful. You've got close to, I guess, $1 billion in assets that are under management right now. But you said you really wanted to do something different than what you could have done at Morgan Stanley. So what is the differentiator for Mosaic? How is it different than other firms out there?
What we talk a lot about at Mosaic is how do we align our clients' values with their money? And so everybody talks about assets and they think of financial assets. We really think about it kind of in four quadrants. You have your financial assets, of course, but you also have relationship assets, legacy assets, and you have experience assets. And so the mind map in the middle is how do these all integrate together? And how do we align our values to use all of our collective assets to really pursue this life of significance? So we always talk about there's a lot of people in our space that are really good at the math, and there really are. And there's a lot of good people in our town or across the country that can do really good math. But the highest calling that we believe that we could offer is how do we align those values and help? Because sometimes you need to trade financial assets for experience or legacy or relationship. If that's consistent with your values, then that's a good investment. And it may not have a great IRR, but it may have a, you know, our friend Dave Stewart talks about eternal rate.
IRR.
I'm still in that term because I love that idea of like, what's the long game and how do we make sure that our values and our money are aligned? So that's really at the nexus of what we're trying to do at Mosaic that we believe is different. We have a whole client process that walks people through identifying what their values are and then making financial decisions that line up with that. And sometimes they're congruent and sometimes they're not. Sometimes we need to speak into that. Sometimes we need to offer coaching. Sometimes we just need to affirm. But we want to make sure that those are aligned because sometimes they're not. And people will say, well, this is the most important thing in my life. And we are able to say, okay, but we're not allocating our assets that are consistent with what you say your values are. So let's just talk about that.
Scott, that makes so much sense now because I know I've heard you say, you know, I'm not just wealth management. I'm not just helping people with their financial. I'm also a life coach. That's where that statement comes in because you're helping people sometimes identify their values when they may not know what they are. So I love that. That is wonderful. Well, you know what? We've got so much more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Scott Highmark.
Are you an IT executive with years of experience? Are you energized when you empower others? If I've piqued your interest thus far, you may be a great mentor for the TechLX program in St. Louis. TechLX prepares rising IT leaders to tackle today's challenges and prepare for tomorrow's demanding roles by pairing them with senior IT executives like yourself. Mentors receive coaching from technology partners and will be invited to all TechLX networking events featuring outstanding speakers of the IT industry. To apply, visit tpi.co/TLX.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Scott Highmark. So Scott, how have you seen what you learned from basketball and sports? How have you seen what you learned there apply to even what you're doing today?
Boy, that is such a good question. There's so much there. But the first things that come to mind that I've learned through basketball, really sports in general, is that we all have a role to play and we have to use those God-given gifts. And sometimes, Lisa, you're the one that needs to score all the points. And my job is to help facilitate that. And yes, you're going to get all the applause, but maybe I set the screen for you to get you open. Maybe I take a charge. Maybe I'm on the bench and I'm just the biggest cheerleader. And that what happens in business is your role changes based on maybe the subject matter, maybe the season of life of your business. Sometimes you do need to score the points, and sometimes you need to take charges and play defense, and sometimes you just need to rebound and keep your mouth shut. So being able to discern what is my team need and what's my unique role to help us win the game. If nothing else, God made me hyper competitive and I really want to win the game, probably too much, but I want to align myself with other people. And probably that's why we hire a lot of ex-athletes, because they get that. They've been the star. They've been a role player. They've been a sub. They've been hurt. And when you can live life with people who have played different roles, but they will sacrifice for the greater good of the team, it's hard to simulate that in life. And that's why I have three daughters, and some of them are really serious about sports and some aren't. But I love the fact that they all played something and were competitive in something, because they've learned those attributes that I learned through athletics that I would have had a hard time learning anywhere else.
Well, we just were talking about the differentiator for Mosaic, and I so clearly now understand why you said, okay, you know, sometimes I'm a life coach. I get that. You know, I want to talk to you about you. Do you have a life manifesto? Do you have values? How have you written your own life plan? Do you have a life plan that you've done with your family?
Not in a traditional sense, not in the kind of the Michael Hyatt sense. I always kid that I'm probably the most overcoached person in America. I've had a life coach. I have a personal trainers. I've had business coaches. My wife and I go to a marriage coach. I mean, we are just always looking for people to speak into our life. If we say these things are important in our life, we probably have blind spots that we're not aware of. And we probably need to surround ourselves with people that know us well enough and that can speak truth in our life. That's not a manifesto, but I do believe that. One of the things, again, going through different coaching programs, entrepreneurial coaching programs, one of them I went through called Strategic Coach, and it's out of Toronto and Chicago. And one of the things you do is you ask 15 people in your life, you know, what are your unique God-given abilities? And come up with three words that define you and kind of anchor to those words, because that's how you're uniquely gifted, and try to build your life, your professional life, your personal life, your spiritual life around those things, because it's really where you find passion and your giftedness. And so for me, the feedback I got from my group was connect deeply with people. I try to have a way of just connecting with people on a deeper level, because you can't do anything unless you build relationships. So you connect and then inspire. Try to be able to see maybe something that they don't see themselves. And again, I'm going to sound manic here, but I, you know, we do a lot of personality profile testing. I'm kind of a junkie understanding myself and each other. One of the labels I've gotten is a trailblazer. So, which means that you might see something that others may not see, and you may try blazing a trail. You will start blazing the trail, and then occasionally you'll look back to see if anybody's following you. Hopefully somebody's following you, right. But you're probably just going to blaze the trail anyway. But because you've built connection and because you've inspired, then that will give you then the opportunity to lead people down that path. Lord willing, they will follow you. So I think about those three words is nothing happens unless I connect deeply. How is the Lord using me to inspire others to see things in themselves that maybe they don't see? And then do I have the courage to lead myself, my family, and others in a direction that has long-lasting significance.
Yeah, that is so good. And I so completely agree with you. And I'm kind of a junkie that way too. You know, I mean, I'm decades old now and I'm still trying to understand myself better, right?
Yes.
And I totally agree with you, Scott, too. We all have blind spots. You know, if we think that we don't, you know, just get around somebody and they'll tell you. You know, that you definitely do.
Of course.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know that you had the Unlocking Significance podcast, and I want to talk more about that. You had mentioned it before, and Bob Buford was huge on this. It's like, how do you move from success to significance? Let me ask you, I mean, how do you, Scott Highmark, define success?
I'm probably technically at halftime, 48 years old. I'm coming up on the big 5-0, and I'm thinking about that. Like, what is ultimately going to be my legacy? What does God want for me in my next season? I'm definitely in the third quarter of my life. So I think about things in quarters, and halftime speaks to me because of that. So right. Another Bob Buford quote talks about the fruit of my life will grow on other people's trees. So I've been told by many of my coaches in my life that there's no scale in Scott. What are you going to let go of to invest in the life of others? And not just time, not just talent, and not just treasure, but the legacy that will live on beyond me is really dependent upon me turning to others, like Tad turned to me and say, how am I going to invest and let go of that so the tree can multiply and grow? And it's not dependent upon Scott moving the levers. I think a lot more about that, about what is the next season of my life. And I think it's going to have a lot more to do with investing in the life of others in and outside the business, so that I think there can be a multiplier effect. That's kind of what I'm thinking about in this season of life of significance. It's not a great answer, but I'm wrestling with that as we speak.
You know, I've often said, I feel like as I've gotten older, Scott, that I've moved more from the what to the who.
Absolutely.
But tell me this, how do you help your team align to a bigger purpose? And so that they come in and they're energized and they do see purpose in their work.
The answer is we're always thinking about that. We're actually working on a project right now to do that, to reimagine our vision, our 2030 vision, and just reimagine it and be okay disrupting ourselves and say, hey, the way we thought about it 7 years ago is different than the way we're thinking about it now. But I think people need that inspiration to see, where are we going? Where is our North Star? And really, at the end of the day, why does it matter? Why does what I do in the accounting side of Mosaic, or on the financial advisor side, or in HR, why does that matter in the world, really, in a bigger sense? And so we're trying to connect our mission. First of all, we're trying to select and hire people that believe in the mission, this idea of moving beyond success to significance. So that's...
It starts with the hiring.
There's a lot of curses, but the blessing is we get to hand select our people. So that's really, really important. So try to vet that out on the front end, but then you have to reinforce that and recast that vision and then connect it, especially as you grow. You're hundreds of employees now. You've got to connect their personal role. Why am I coming to work today? And what difference does that make in the world? How is it going to connect? And I heard a story, and you've heard hundreds of these stories, but it resonated with me. There was a person who did catering, and they asked him, what did you do for a living? And he said, well, I helped the Cardinals win baseball games. And they said, what? You're a caterer? And he said, no, we're a caterer, but we serve food at pregame meals prior to the Cardinal games. So we're actually getting their fans ready to go cheer them on. And we know from the players and the manager that to the extent that we can have our fans engaged, it actually helps our team win. So we actually help the Cardinals win games. That kind of connection between we make food or we're in the catering business, no, we're actually in the baseball business. And so always trying to think about how do we connect that visually for our people and what they do and how that's going to help, how it's going to actually make an impact. And again, in our world, it's wealth, it's money, but it has its significant legacy, eternal impact. So if we talk about significance, but we don't give people work-life balance and we don't give them flexibility to make sure their values align with their workplace, they're not going to work here. They're going to say, well, it's all talk.
Right.
So we always have to be living the stuff that we talk about with our clients and put on our website. Well, our employees are like, all right, let's see what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm. You got to walk the talk. My good friend, Danny Ludeman, Scott, I'll never forget him saying, you know, he goes, I watch people's feet.
Yeah.
I don't watch their mouth. I watch their feet, you know, and it's so true. You've got to constantly be making sure that you're walking the talk, you're living the core values that are on your wall. Well, tell me about Unlocking Significance. So you have your own podcast. I think that you launched, I want to say maybe 2020, right?
Yes. It was kind of a COVID thing where it was like, we've been thinking about it for years and it was like, okay, now's the time. And honestly, Lisa, you are, I say I've listened to almost every episode. I've listened to you for years, inspired me to say, okay, we need to do this. And in our little world, and honestly, there's really no point in it other than we just love to hear the stories of people who are living a life of significance that have had a lot of success as the world would define it. And now are pursuing significance and kind of have made that leap. And I've learned so much just by asking questions and hearing and teasing out those stories. So that's really why we started it. Now there's some other tangential stuff that's happened because of it.
Sure.
But really it was just, I love hearing other people's stories. And I wanted to see if we could do that with people that we know and love and have really interesting stories. We thought it might be a blessing to others. So that's really why.
Well, it makes sense to me because you're a connector.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I know that you're a man of faith. And I would love for you just to tell me, how has faith played a role for you in your business, in your life? We've mentioned God a couple of times, but I know that is number one for you, is your faith and then your family. But talk to me about that a little bit, if you would.
It informs everything. It is, for me, it is everything. I'm saved by grace. I believe that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. And if we believe in him, we'll spend eternity with him. And that makes all the difference for me. And it's not anything that I've done. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. I'm not keeping a Excel spreadsheet on what Scott did. It's, he reached into my life and spoke into me and draws me closer to him. And so having that eternal perspective changes everything. It changes the way I think about time and talent and treasure and what does God want me to do in this next season and my halftime moments and with my marriage. And again, I fail every single day in this. And so I don't want people to get the impression that I have it all figured out. I do not, for 100% sure. But it is the lens in which I see life. And it is the lens in which I see significance. And I think it's hard for people to really have the peace that transcends all understanding without having some understanding that there is a God and there is a bigger purpose than just get all I can during my 85 years of life. That faith, again, is the lens. It's the worldview that's always playing in my background as I'm evaluating, you know, opportunities that come your way or engagement. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully you get a little bit better at that, but it's a daily on my knees asking for guidance and wisdom and insight and having humility to be able to know that I don't have it figured out.
Absolutely. That's so good. Well, I always say it's a journey and we're all that journey together. So thank you for sharing that. So Scott, what do you believe is something extra that every leader needs?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew it. And I was thinking about just being curious. I think that could be part of it. I think when I got that feedback from those mentors in my life, they talked about humility. That sounds oxymoronic to say humility is your something extra, but I've lived enough life and I know that I don't have it figured out. And I just want to be humble and know that I don't have it figured out. I'm very curious in asking others who have gone before me, who are wiser, who have experiences. You know, somebody told me you can't teach experience you don't have. So I love to just humbly ask other people like yourself and other people that have gone before me to say, how should I think about that? Would you share your experiences? And honestly, I've been so blessed by just having that posture for the last 25 years in my professional life. And so many people have been so gracious to offer their perspective and insights. I think it's helped accelerate my learning.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, I was just talking to somebody earlier today before we jumped on here, Scott, and I just said, I recommended this person talk to some people because I said, just getting other people's perspective on things, it doesn't mean that that's the way that you need to behave or the way that you need to move forward, but just getting their perspective is so helpful, I think. And I totally have not got it all figured out, nor will I.
Yeah.
You know, not in this life. I hope that I never stop being curious and having a craving and a hunger to grow and to be a better version of me every day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The other thing just quickly that comes to mind, and this is not a healthy thing, but probably hyper-competitiveness. There's an inner burn that people probably don't see in me when they meet me casually, but inside there's this hyper-competitive burning engine running, and I hide it fairly well, but that's probably something that people probably don't see all the time, but it's running hot. You ask my wife. And so I have to regulate that. And sometimes it helps me and a lot of times it hurts me.
Yeah, sure. Well, okay. So tell me, Scott, what are you most excited about right now? And how can our listeners get involved?
I am excited about a lot of things. An immediate thing, and a little self-serving, but at Mosaic, we're super excited about actually a partnership that we announced this week that we're partnering with a firm called Focus Financial, in addition to a lot of things that they can help us be a lot better at. We have a really big, hairy, audacious vision of what Mosaic could be and what God might be doing, and believe that this notion of being the significance firm could be bigger than just St. Louis and Denver and maybe attractive to other people, either regionally or nationally. And I think we now have the team in place to potentially do that. If the Lord wills, always add that caveat. And so I want to be thoughtful about that. But I do think there's an opportunity for this value-based wealth management. And there's some white space in the universe that I think we're uniquely positioned to do. And so I think we have the horsepower internally and now with the new partnership to maybe make that happen. So that's this week. So I thought I would share that with you.
That's wonderful. Well, Scott, hey, this has been so much fun for me. Thank you so much. What a fun interview. I think you and I could just talk for hours and hours, but thanks so much for making the time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor to be on your podcast. And again, I've listened for years and thank you for having me. It's been a joy.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.